I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie and Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hootie hoo, this is George, and don't skip this announcement. Don't skip, because guess what? I have two huge things to say, and they are going to make a global impact. One is that I, George Severus, co-host of the podcast Radiolab, am headlining Brooklyn's own Littlefield on July 8th. I'm going to be trying out some new material. That's right. I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy. And if some of it bombs, I'm never going to do it again. So this might be your one chance to hear it. I would love to see some glamour girls there. It would make me feel so happy. And I would love for you to buy tickets. The ticket link is in all my bios across the internet. And then the second thing I wanted to say is that we here at the podcast Radiolab are doing one of our famous earnestness bonanzas for, that's right, the 4th of July. And we're doing it ironically because we don't celebrate the holiday. So if you want to get your questions in, please email us at radiolab@gmail.com. You can email us literally any question and we will answer it earnestly. And let's say try to do that by, Tuesday, June 27th. All right. Enjoy the episode. Bye bye.
Podcast starts now.
Hi.
Welcome to Radiolab. It's so amazing to be back on microphone.
It's so amazing to be on Radiolab.
It's so amazing. You know, we do this weekly, sometimes twice a week.
Sometimes daily.
And, you know, it's so important to take time to be grateful.
Yeah.
So few people get to talk into a microphone and release it.
Increasingly more and more. But yeah, few relatively speaking.
There's still less that do speak than that don't.
I think at this point it's about 40% of people who do it on a regular basis. But that is still a minority.
Yeah.
That is still an oppressed group.
As a podcaster, we are vulnerable to laws in a way that no one else is.
In a way that most people are not.
Yeah. 60% of people.
60% of people are not. And yeah, I mean, am I afraid of the upcoming election? Yeah.
Yeah, because it affects my livelihood.
My livelihood.
If we don't keep Biden in office, podcasting could be abolished.
Well, here's the thing, and this is where it gets complicated. Trump is better on podcasting. I don't agree with him on the vast majority of other issues. But when it comes to podcasting legislation, there's just no way around it. Like, he is better for the community. And this is where it gets complicated, because you're like, I am an LGBTQ+ American.
Let's start there.
I am an ally to various other communities. I am a proud progressive.
Mm-hmm.
I am someone who believes in universal health care.
Of course.
I am someone who believes in reproductive rights. Mm-hmm. But I'm also a podcaster.
And maybe even first.
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah. Am I a single issue voter on podcasters' rights?
Yeah. And I think these are conversations that people in our community are having behind closed doors all the time. And like, yeah, we're opening ourselves up to criticism by talking about it on mic. But then it's like, well, what are you going to do, half-ass it?
Well, and the fact of the matter is we need to speak up on our podcast in order to bring more awareness to podcasting and podcasters.
But of course, because we have a platform, it's dangerous to even talk. It's like, what if just in the process of us having this conversation, people are learning that Trump is more pro-podcasting and then we're literally like making people vote the wrong way.
Right.
Because guess what? I mean, here's the real, really complicated thing about all of this.
Okay.
There are more podcasters per capita in blue states. So if we raise awareness about the fact that Trump is more pro-podcasting, we could turn states red. And that could have detrimental effects on the nation.
It's true. But maybe you know that thing where people are like, why do like Republicans in rural areas vote against their own interests?
Ooh.
Maybe the podcasters in the blue states will still vote Democrat and vote against their podcasting interests.
I would love that. And you know what? I'll say it publicly. I'm voting for Biden. Are you? You don't want to talk about it
now? Yeah, I don't really want to talk politics.
Not You're an undecided voter.
I'm undecided. I'm waiting to see what
And guess what?
You know.
Undecided voters talk about an oppressed minority. I mean, that is like, I mean, podcasters is one thing, but being an undecided voter...
I am actually obsessed with undecided voters, and I don't think we talk about it enough. They are so randomista.
They are the most random.
They are like imagine just not caring about anything and just being like, I don't know. Like, it's
you know what,
actually
though?
Insane to be like, what is going on?
Okay, but you know what, though? In some ways, they are iconic because it's like when you are paying attention so much that let's say you turn on a debate, a presidential debate.
Sure.
Literally everyone is just spewing bullshit at one another.
Of course.
Nothing is, no one is expressing an actual authentic opinion. No one is saying anything that is like, in terms of a first order, like discursive, nothing is discursively true or false. It's just like bullshit both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think it is a normal response to watch that and then be like, yeah, I don't know. I'm coming up blank, y'all.
I'm coming up blank, y'all. I think what it is, maybe what you're pointing to, what's so powerful about the undecided voter, the randomista, mm-hmm. is how present they are. They turn on the TV and they say, like, this is all I am intaking is what I am literally seeing.
Totally.
I'm not thinking about the past or the present. I'm not thinking about the past or the future. I'm only in the present thinking about what I'm watching them say on TV.
Right.
And so then they're like, well, I don't know.
Or they're like... they're actually so smart that they know most of the things being talked about will not affect them directly. Mm. And so they're like, yeah, I watched those four debates. I still don't know if like they're going to charge me extra for guac at Chipotle when I go if Biden is elected.
Sure, 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 sure. The undecided voter and the podcaster.
Right.
As communities.
Two peas in a pod.
And yet so opposite.
And yet opposites.
Because thank you for changing your opinion instantly.
And as I was saying, they're opposites.
They are complete opposites. Because a podcaster's entire job mm-hmm. is to have an opinion and be decided in it.
Right.
Even if it's something that is
so true.
So wrong.
Like I just did.
Yeah. It's literally just be like, no, I'm making a choice.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're talking about carrots. I think carrots are good because blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's completely made up. They probably don't actually feel that way, but they had to have something to talk about. And so they had to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Whereas an undecided voter is actually being like, I'm going to think, I'm going to reflect, and I'm not going to podcast.
Oh my God. God forbid an undecided voter ever started a podcast.
Oh,
they would never
God.
Land on a single point. They would just be, it would be literally the definition of, what is it called? Dialectical thinking. It would be like one point, then counterpoint, then another point, and then counterpoint.
Oh my God. I mean,
it could be revolutionary.
It could be game changing.
People could learn a new way to think in a more nuanced way.
They would bring nuance to podcasting.
Yeah. And maybe even to electoral politics.
Well, then I actually think, you know, we need to stop lifting up LGBTQ plus voices and we need to start lifting up UNDECID voices. Did I spell it right?
I thought you were going to do like UV undecided voter, but you decided to just spell undecided whole cloth.
I thought it would be sort of a fun mirror.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is fun. It is fun.
But then it got kind of difficult. Not good at spelling things out loud.
I think you did a really wonderful job.
Thank you. I think we will. I actually will need to listen back. Did I nail it?
Yeah. Yeah. Our spelling judge says yes. Well, I think, you know. So to recap, I am voting for Biden. You're undecided.
Uh-huh.
And both are valid.
And both are valid. Okay. I'm trying to think, like, if an undecided voter hosts a podcast, like, I want to, like, if the topic is carrots.
Yeah.
And an undecided voter was at the helm of our podcast.
Right. Yeah, but, okay. Yes. Go on.
So it would be like, I don't know. It'd be like, okay, this is me. This is undecided voter. Carrots are weird.
Yeah.
They could be straight, but maybe it's gay. I, what do you guys think?
Okay, but here's what I think is I think obviously, you know, whatever, we're doing a bit about how undecided voters are smart. Obviously, everyone has to vote Democrat, okay? But the thing with undecided voters is not that their minds are so evolved that they can see past everything. It's that I think there's some synapses missing where they are processing things like in a more postmodern way, where it's like someone will be like, oh, this candidate is pro universal healthcare, this candidate is anti universal healthcare, and then the follow up question will be like, so what does that mean for my lunch break? Like, it's like the synapses are firing wrong. So you like misunderstand fundamentally what a topic is about. So it's like if the topic is carrot, then they'll be like, well, like a carrot you eat.
Wow, we are actually absolutely,
you know what I mean,
destroying undecided voters.
Okay, I'm sorry. I understand that these are.
I heard it loud and clear. If you're an undecided voter, you have synapses missing.
But I by the way, you know who else had synapses hitting it sort of in the wrong places? Every great artist.
Wow.
Picasso.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing to have a sort of non-traditional mind.
Picasso famously had synapses missing.
Picasso famously had synapses missing.
That's what problematic is about.
That's what problematic is about. And yeah, some of the missing synapses resulted in really beautiful art. Some of them resulted in him being an asshole.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's my point, sort of. I think they are the postmodernists of voters. Like, they're thinking about everything in a very different, out-of-the-box way.
Wow. So in a different time, they would maybe be oracles.
Exactly. They would be the oracle from 300 who's sort of like Grimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's amazing.
I love that.
Should we bring in our guest?
I think we should. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are currently sitting in a studio. Sam is next to me, and Sam has an iced coffee in front of him. And I'm having this vision, this like fantasy of like us being so close that I could just like always take a sip of your coffee.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a very specific thing that's like, it's like when in a movie, two people are like comfortable with one of them being like in the bath and the other one sitting on the toilet.
Well, it's very
sharing
girls.
A cigarette.
It's very girls.
Yeah. Where it's like you're like, oh, it seems so easy. But even though I have all these close friends that I'm so intimate with, I don't think I could ever do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and honestly, I'm not a great sharer.
Totally. And guess what? Neither am I. And if the shoe was on the other foot, I would not want you to be like grabbing my coffee and putting it in your slobbery mouth. But it is just, it's something to think about. Like,
it's something to think about.
It feels very cinematic to be like, oh yeah, my best friend. We share everything.
Yeah. Well,
but unfortunately, we're not there yet.
That's a fantasy. Okay. I think we should bring in our guest. She is, we realized, has been with the podcast since before the beginning.
Since before the beginning. She did one of the lost episodes. We did,
and there
many?
Are only two.
Two?
Yeah.
We did two episodes that were sort of a test run that we didn't release because we just, like, were not there yet conceptually. Through no fault of our guest, by the way.
Oh, God, no. Well, she could have been a little better.
Listen, she was not good. And that's why we didn't release it.
Quite frankly.
We were actually, talk about firing on all synapses.
Not a single synapse.
Not a single
missing.
Synapse missing, how many? And so she did one of our last episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Then she did a Zoom episode.
Yeah.
Then she did a live show. And now she's recording with us live in Midtown in the Red Room.
Yeah.
And she is the only person ever that can say that in the history of the podcast.
Well, we could say it.
That is true. So in that way, she is the third best of the people in the room. Anyway, please welcome Amy Zimmer.
Hi, boys.
Hi, Aim.
You know, I'm so glad there's cameras recording this dynamic that we have.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad we're bringing it all to the table today because I feel like this kind of fun contention has kind of been a part of us for so long.
Totally. Do you feel like
I was the best part of the Lost I was by far the best part. I was riffing on all cylinders.
No, it actually, the thing is, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will stand up for myself today.
No, and that is true. Because at the time, I think we had not learned how to be hosts yet. So in fact, we were.
Just calm and courtesy, like manner. Right. Looking me in the eye, saying, how are you? Right. Things like that.
We were being actively rude.
Yeah.
We couldn't, neither of us could remember your name. I kept calling you
Kelly.
Annie.
I remembered Kelly.
Kelly.
Yeah.
I kept calling you Kelly.
And we were like pretending like we didn't even invite you in. We kept sort of being like, who is this and why does she keep talking?
And you didn't notice my blowout. I came with a blowout.
Yeah. You looked honestly kind of insane.
But you didn't say anything.
No,
but I'm glad your filler has gone down.
No, it's fine. And happy Pride.
And let me just say something, Kelly. Your face looks really good. Everything is settling in really well.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Your face is firing all synapses.
Yeah.
I honestly, while you were talking about the undecided voter, I couldn't help but identify with sort of conceptually the person you're talking about.
Wow. Yeah. What spoke to you about it?
Well, no.
Indecision.
Guess what? But it's a very... you're an artist. It's an artistic
thank
brain.
Thank you. And that it was connected to sort of like a vague prophecy or a
totally,
thing,
totally. You know? Well, that it's like you can have an artistic brain just applied to the wrong thing. Like, guess what? It's actually very important that we vote for the right people because then we can move society forward.
And do the wrong things.
Right. Well, yes. I mean, it's not going to be started. But, you know, generally speaking, of course, let's say there is a, you know, you're voting between someone that is moving the world forward and someone who is moving the world backward. You want to vote for the former. But then if you have an artistic mind, you're like, but what if we remix it? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, what if we? What if it could be sort of fun to go backwards in like a postmodern kind of way?
I want to be a part of something big.
Exactly.
Well, you know, when you were talking too, I was also remembering the famous undecided voter from 2016, but forgot his name, and I was in my head said, "Well, look at Ron Glass."
Look at Ron Glass. What is his name? Ted?
Ken Bone.
You look at Ron Glass and you say, "He changed history."
I mean,
Ron Glass. Man, I love his early work.
Yeah.
And you know, you get older and you do pare things down creatively. Ron, but at the end of the day, he had the Glass.
He had the Denver tapes.
He had the Denver tapes, and no election will take that.
No election will take that away, even though it did sway people to the right. Yeah. That year, but
I'm like actually bringing up Ken Bone is truly frightening.
Yeah.
Like I'm like
talk about straight culture,
and like internet meme culture was like I think that was like. Maybe it's peak, but like it's starting to
the
die.
Of hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but then the sweater, also, like, didn't the sweater,
the sweater
sell
went
out?
Viral?
All the clothes selling out? Maybe
but
that's.
But also, was Ken Bone in 2016?
Yeah.
Right. So, like, the idea that this guy that everyone is like, haha, is literally undecided between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and everyone's like, okay, go off, random sleigh.
Yeah. Yeah. Just gently at a microphone, and people are like, whoa, I gotta get that.
They're like, that's star power right there. That's star power.
He's gonna be here a long time, Ron Glass.
It also was this sort of like, and I'm not saying it's post-Trump comedy is better by any means, but it's the sort of pre-Trump thing where like it was okay to just make fun of. Like, I feel like even just a few months later, people would be like, that's not funny. He is complicit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it was scroll like, back, they got a Ron Glass tweet.
You scroll back, they're like, Ron Glass is actually kind of hot.
Yeah,
retweet if you agree.
Exactly.
You look at their Instagram, they're Ron Glass for Halloween.
Ron Glass for Halloween.
And you're like, Kelly.
Kelly.
Stop.
Kelly, your cheeks look insane.
Kelly,
girl.
Let it settle. Let it settle. Give it a month.
You know what I was thinking would be a fun trend for faces is if, speaking of letting it settle, is if there was a trend to have multiple parallel eyebrows, one on top of the other.
Oh, I love
nice.
That.
Don't you think that's sort
I love
of fun?
That.
Yeah.
I
feel
like they're doing that with the eyeliner. They're doing that with the eyes.
You've seen this. You guys heard about this? They're doing it with the eyes. You guys heard about
this?
You guys seen this? They're doing a line over the eye.
And I say two brows.
I say two brows.
So I'm watching the news the other night. You guys hear about this? They're doing another line. They're doing it with the eyes.
That's how, yeah. Yep, yeah. Feeling at home, feeling right at home.
That's the future of media with no monoculture is like a Jay Leno figure doing jokes about makeup trends on TikTok.
It's I mean, the
you hear
only...
about this? You see about this on TikTok? They're doing another line.
And that's the only future where I'm safe.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. I mean, talk about remixing.
Well,
yeah.
And I have to say, you know, before this, we started recording, Amy was sort of trying to tell us about topics. And she was like, well, you know, like girls drinking water. And we were both like, what?
Yeah. And you were like, you haven't seen this huge
You haven't
trend.
Seen the videos of the girls drinking stuff?
There's a lot of physical violence after I said that. I just want to say to the listeners.
Well, that's, but this is my experience with anything I'm learning about recently. It's like, I'll see a headline and it's like, how Mr. Beast became the single most popular man to ever live, including Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, never heard of him.
I'm so glad you put Nazareth in there.
Yeah, thank you. Because I was like, wait, is that Jesus Christ
of
Schenectady?
Of Sedona?
Wait, I know Jesus Christ, but I think he's West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, it would be really fun if there was a West Coast Jesus Christ in addition to the East Coast.
I think Jesus Christ is fundamentally West Coast.
You're right, long
well,
hair.
His vibe is Cali.
We can't even go
They should
there,
do an East Coast one, then that's more clean cut.
Yeah.
And it's like preppy and it's like
Yeah, Eastern. Abercrombie.
Yeah, yeah, like playing rugby.
Yeah.
Oh, rugby-based
Jesus. Rugby
Jesus.
Jesus.
Rugby Jesus.
Talk about a good Halloween costume.
That's yeah. That
Even
just,
better than Ken
it's
Bone.
It's so easy. Yeah, it's low concept. Everyone it's gets
just,
it.
You're
it's
wearing
rugby
a rugby
Jesus.
Shirt and you're just holding your arms in the
and
in the.
Like,
any
so who are you?
Board shorts.
Who are you? Oh, I'm Rugby Jesus.
Okay.
Wait, I just want to say,
awesome.
I'm Kendall Roy.
I just want to say,
and I'm Kendall Bone.
Yeah.
This is official. That on Halloween, I want listeners to dress as Rugby Jesus.
If you please, listeners, if you're out there, I know you don't know me, but I need you to dress up as Rugby Jesus. My name is Kelly.
I just got a lot of
I'm
work done.
5'6". I just got a blowout. If you can please notice it, so much to me. I swear to God, I really need.
You
this.
Have upwards of 5 eyebrows.
I have six. I have upwards of 6 eyebrows. They're elegant, they're tapered. Some of them are fluffy too.
And some people are doing it with the eyes.
Yeah, and you've heard
some
this.
Some people you're doing
and
it
you've
with
seen
the
this
eyes.
On the news.
I want Rugby Jesus Christ with sort of stunning eye makeup. Like, yeah. Like
and
Euphoria
how easy
eye
is that? To quote my good friend Ina Garten.
To quote my good friend Ina Garten. I do think it would be a slay if Jesus was like Barbie style, where there were like different
oh my God,
styles.
That is
Why wasn't
good
Jesus
idea.
In the Barbie movie?
Why oh wasn't God. Jesus in the Barbie movie?
I haven't seen it. It hasn't come out yet, but why isn't he in there? If we're talking about world building.
Has the country gone mad?
Yeah. Where's Jesus in
It's
this?
A Mattel. It's a Mattel.
Last time I checked, it's pink.
Last time I checked, this is America.
Which is deeply Catholic. I'm Jewish, but I've heard it's...
Yeah, you're Jewish, but you know where... You know,
I know how these things go. Jesus is pink. And rugby is God.
And Barbie is Catholic.
And Barbie's Catholic.
What do you think Barbie's religion is?
I really hope it's Buddhist.
You think so?
Oh.
That's how
you
she's
like
so
that?
Centered enough.
I don't think... I don't. She's too materialistic,
No,
to
but
honest.
I think she... I'm feeling like she moves through life with a passivity that is close to enlightenment. You know what I mean? All the materialism becomes to her. She doesn't seek it out. The heels are put on her. The cars are given.
That's very true. That's very
you know
true.
What I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
No, you're so right.
Her hair is brushed and
her
she
ability
maintains.
To accept.
She sits under the tree, the Buddhist tree.
Right. Well,
receives.
She's sort of Sharon Stone in that way. It's like Sharon Stone
she's
is a Buddhist.
She's deeply Sharon Stone.
But Sharon Stone also just like is all these material goods are forced upon her. Like every
and she's
time
like,
she gets
what
mail,
is this?
It's like
What's
something
the
free
use?
From Burberry. And she's like, yeah, like
nothing.
I'll wear it or whatever. But
and it maybe in the way she practices, you know, acceptance is incredibly privileged or something.
Yeah.
But I do think Barbie's trying to parse out where we, what is meaningful and what is the endless wheel of suffering.
Wow.
I think that's absolutely true. I think it is.
Did you hear that? Are you guys getting this? Kelly. 5'6", blow dry bar.
No one's noticing.
I got threads.
Oh my God.
I really like this sort of concept of Barbie being someone in the midst, at any given time, in the midst of like essentially figuring out the meaning of life.
I think the movie, if Jesus isn't in it, I'm praying to God that it's focusing on that.
You're praying to Christian God.
Christian God? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I've already talked to Jewish God about it.
And honey, it's not
and
good
honey,
news.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, that definitely so interesting. Puts a different spin on Barbie.
You know, it's interesting. Everyone is obsessed with Barbie right now because of the movie or whatever. And I'm like, no one's having interesting conversations about Barbie. Like, no, what religion
totally
is
like
she? Like, what religion is she? Is she materialistic?
What religion do you think she is?
I think, well, unfortunately, I do think she's Christian.
Yeah.
Actually, Barbara.
Whoa.
Could be a variety of things. Barbara Streisand.
Barbara
is
could
Jewish.
Be Jewish. I think she's Jewish. She would be a Buddhist Jew, which is you know, close to me.
Yeah, very you coded.
Yeah. Yeah, Barbie's kind of me coded.
Yeah.
I think I was gonna say she's Episcopalian.
You think
Pentecostal?
So? Well, see, you're being very optimistic in that, and as am I, by the way, by saying she's Jewish. We're both like, well, it's a given that she's progressive, so she's either Episcopalian or Jewish or like Catholic.
This is the big question. But is Barbie progressive?
Exactly. And I think that...
I feel like there's no way around it, folks. Yeah.
She is.
She is.
Yeah. I almost like wanted to pretend that she wasn't because there
she's
is...
She's not the... She might not be your hero.
Right, right. You know? But she's progressive.
She might have had problems with Bernie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and, she definitely you know, hates Bernie Bros.
Yeah, she hates Bernie Bros.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Know? And she also does think you need to get out your ass.
Get out your ass, folks. She does say you have to get out your ass and work.
Get out your
People
ass.
I'm Barbie, and
asses.
I'm telling you I'm to Barbie. Get out your ass and vote.
And vote. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Skipper
I think Episcopal,
is all right.
I could see. Yeah, what? Skipper is fully like a reactionary. Skipper is easily fooled. And Skipper is, quite frankly, trying to get a job as like the token woman in an alt-right like YouTube network.
And Skipper's on organ meats. Nothing but organ meats. Red meat diet.
Oh, No,
She's absolutely.
I was sort of like, I was like,
for you?
I was like, okay, so she plays the organ and like meets up with other people.
I was like, I thought you were like,
she
oh,
knows
they're
that
like,
too, and it's really problematic.
I thought you were like, oh, they're from Oregon, from a small farm in Oregon.
Yeah,
yeah, we were all sort of wrong on that
one.
Yeah,
that's all right.
That's all right.
See, and it is there is a sort of their friendship is going through a rough period. It was kind of like when all those like Democrat rich New York women were like, please write to Ivanka and tell her to stop this.
That's where a lot of friendships were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Wow. Let's take a beat for that.
Remember Free Melania?
Sam, will you sing the national anthem?
Sam, please. And by the national anthem, we do mean Sign from Above.
Yeah.
By Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
When I was young,
I prayed for lightning.
That's how we know the pandemic really hurt us.
Last night, which is insane actually to say out loud, is I watched Gaga's
5'2"
VMA's COVID performance.
Oh.
Where she's like wearing the mask with Ariana Grande and performing to like fake audience noise.
Yeah.
I would rather be in the middle of a fire that was burning me alive than do that.
I was really like, wow. Like, the way that that is in the past is so weird.
Firmly.
Because it's like, I remember this, and it feels like watching something from the 50s. Yeah. Like, you're like, so they really did this.
Yeah, so people were really, they had a laugh tracks.
For a concert.
Yeah, for a concert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, I think we're going to want to do our first segment.
Remember when everyone was, whatever.
No, say it.
Just like the politics of like, you heard that a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend went to the Hamptons during lockdown. And then everyone was like, we have to get the word out. They went to the Hamptons.
Kill them.
Kill them now.
And Skipper was out.
And Skipper was out.
Skipper was partying.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. The party. Like that the people that were like sort of like flamboyantly going to parties.
Yeah.
And it was like the new counterculture.
Yeah. Well, you know what's crazy also is that our very podcast is a piece of pandemic culture.
100%.
Yeah, it started in
it. It started 100%. In it, which is just insane.
In fact, our last ep
was
like,
pre-pandemic.
Yeah, very shortly.
Yeah.
Like a month before?
Yeah, a month before.
Ruh-roh. Let's do our first segment.
What if you listen to it and we're like, wait, we all sound so much more intelligent than we do now. Like, we don't even realize much the pandemic has
ruined. Talk about synapses.
It's like, yeah, we think of it as like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't there yet, blah, blah. We listen to it. We're literally geniuses.
Yeah.
And now all we can talk about is Lady Gaga signed from above.
Which is what we did in the last episode.
Yeah,
I was literally.
Yeah. Well, we talked about Rain on Me. It had just been released.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
We really needed your perspective.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Amy, the time has come for our first segment.
Yeah.
Which is called Straight Shooters.
I'm familiar.
I'm not even going to disrespect you by explaining to you what it is.
I know, listeners, what it is.
And I will start.
But should you explain it to the listeners just
in
case?
Listeners.
Kelly, do you want to do it?
Sure. Thank you, Branson. So, listeners, if you're listening, again, my name is
listeners,
Kelly.
If you're listening, great start.
Listeners, if you're listening.
Are you going to bully me through it on our iHeartRadio podcast? Is that what's happening? Are the Goliaths bullying the David here?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
That wasn't in Catholic listeners, Bible with the rugby Jesus.
Listeners, if you're listening to me, my name's Kelly, and our first segment is called Straight Shooters. Straight Shooters is where Sam and George make up some little fucking thing. They make up some little fucking thing to say to me, and I decide which one I want to say. And we decide if it's straight culture or not. You've listened before. You know what it's like. You know these two are trouble. But that's all I'll say. My name's Kelly.
That was really good, Kelly.
Kelly, that was amazing.
Thank you.
By the way, did you do something with your hair?
No.
Kelly, one of your eyebrows is falling off.
Okay.
Okay.
That's Kelly. Takes it all lying down. Okay.
And Kelly sounds kind of like a Barbie figure.
My wedding is next month, and I'm like really scared of.
Oh my God, an introvert bride? That's
amazing. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about
an introvert
that's
bride.
Basically
oh my
whole
God.
Life.
Well, yeah, it's always your wedding day.
Thank you.
There needs to be a movie about an introvert bride.
Listeners, I call dibs on that. So if anyone's
you could
listening
start
to
it.
Thank you.
We get 10%.
You could star in it, but you can't direct.
Yeah, I can't direct. Obviously. I'm like, I thought this was a bra. Listeners, I was holding up the headphones. Saying,
you
want
to do it for the camera?
I thought this was a bra.
That's so Kelly.
That's so Kelly. Enough.
Enough.
Okay, Kelly.
Okay, Kelly, are you ready to play?
Let's ride.
Dun, 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 dun,
let's
dun,
ride.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, Amy Zimmer. Cat in the Hat, The Cat's Pajamas, or Puss in Boots?
Puss in Boots.
Late capitalism or early admission?
Early admission.
Being felt up by your beau or being gassed up by your bro?
Felt up by your beau.
Discovering yourself while studying abroad or uncovering your fiancé committed fraud?
Uncovering your fiancé committed fraud.
The Japanese concept of kintsugi or the Gen Z concept of chugi?
That's good.
Chugi.
Yeah. Listening to Sondheim or listening to a song by Haim?
Ooh, Sondheim.
Wow.
And finally, Amy.
Wow, we talked about jokingly forgetting her name, and now we are so confused by the Kelly-Amy dynamic that we are.
That's what pandemic did.
Kelly, being uninformed about Brexit or being uniformed and it's sexy?
Hmm.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's tough.
Being uninformed about Brexit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
At the end of the day.
Sure.
Being.
Whatever happened with that?
Well,
now that we know about it, Sam. Well, Sam, now that you know about it, you
Sam,
can explain.
Sam, why don't you explain?
Sam, why don't you explain?
So they did it.
Yeah, they're literally leaving
right, they
the
did
EU.
It.
But they're leaving? They haven't left
no,
yet?
No, it's bad. There have been, like, widespread repercussions.
So they left.
Yeah.
Just, you're being really Kelly right now.
You're being so Kelly.
You're being Kelly right now. And I honestly pray for you.
Just seems like they were leaving for a long time. And it was sort of like, whatever happened with that?
Well, it's like chaos. They've had like 3 prime ministers in the past year.
Hello.
And you know, the latest one, Biden didn't even pronounce his name right. Anyway.
Oh, man.
How did he say it? How's it supposed to be said?
Biden.
He said Biden.
He said, I am Joe Biden.
He said, I am Joe Biden.
And it was kind of like a Kennedy moment when he said, I'm bin Berlin or whatever. He said,
oh my God.
I'm Biden.
Yo soy Biden.
Yo soy Biden. And that's what he said to the Prime Minister of the UK.
Yeah.
And then the Prime Minister of the UK was like,
we're leaving.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to go ahead with Brexit.
And then yeah. Biden was like, well, have you left yet? Or are you still leaving?
Where are you? He's outside the club. Where are you?
My impression of Brexit is them being like, okay, we're going to go.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, then go.
Wait,
then
that is such a good point.
Fine.
Yeah, it's like, then go.
That's
and they're like, yeah, we're going to.
Because at first, when they said we're going to go, the EU was like, okay. Mad, because at first they didn't want them to go. They were like, what are you talking about? You just got here. We haven't even sang happy birthday yet.
Yeah.
In fact, this is literally a surprise party, and like the person hasn't even walked in yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're being actually insane. You came, you had like 1 pint,
and you
British,
put,
and then you're going to leave immediately.
Right.
And then they kept being like, we're going to go. The party's going. At this point, it's been like 3 hours. Like, yeah, you can leave if you
yeah.
want.
Like, yeah.
It's like, and they keep going around and being like, we are going to leave soon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's true. Okay.
They're going to Spain. They're going to Italy. They're going to like, you know, I was going to say
maybe
Morocco.
Maybe Germany even?
No. Germany, well, yeah.
Germany even?
So that's our impression of Brexit pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, Germany's like, Auf Wiedersehen.
Say that. Talk about that. Yeah.
But so, then being uniformed, but it's sexy was the other choice. Do you feel like it's more problematic to be uninformed about Brexit or find a man in a uniform sexy?
More problematic.
Yeah.
I think they're equal.
Finding a man in uniform sexy
is more problematic.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say.
What about a woman?
Oh, no, that's progressive.
That's progressive, and yeah.
To find a woman in a uniform sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cadet Kelly.
Because you.
Oh, my God. Is that what you were named after?
Loosely based around events in my life.
Yeah. That was from when you were in the podcast troops.
Yeah, yeah. I had one called, girls, get your numbers.
Yeah, ooh. You just give each girl guest a number.
Yeah, a girl
random.
Would come on.
That was like, your,
say,
that
get
was your podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We'd have guests on and talk about kind of dating trouble, and then
yeah.
I'd give them a number.
And then you raised awareness about numbers.
12.
12.
You know?
That's so 12.
That was your catchphrase.
12. Girls, get your numbers.
Girl, get your numbers on.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
Do you remember when I did Straight Shooters to you? Do you think the listeners know about that?
Not only did you do that, but since you've done that, we now encourage people to do that at live shows.
Oh, so.
And, yeah. So
oh, so is there a plaque? Is there a Hollywood Star Walk of Fame? Like, is
we
there
should
a water
rename,
bottle
I guess
have?
We should. We can rename the segment Amy
Zimmer
presents
Straight
Shooters.
That would be great because I have been directing so much.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You're well, good at directing live shows for film.
For film, it
doesn't translate.
Yeah, it becomes like this impressionistic, diaristic.
It's overwrought.
It's
a lot of wide shots.
It's like muddying, and there's these flashbacks and a lot of dogs.
Love non-linear storytelling.
Yeah, and
I'm
always saying it's a feminine narrative, and people are like, it doesn't make sense, honey.
Exactly. You're like, feminist epistemology, and they're like, yeah, but what is this character, and when were they introduced?
Yeah, and I'm like, they remember the war. And they're like, which war? And I'm like, shut up.
You're like, it's not about that. It's not about which war.
Yeah.
It's about the war as Kelly's lens for how her eyebrows should look.
Exactly.
And the settling. And how she settles over the course of a three-act structure.
Because the war is the war, but the war is internal as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kelly knows.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy. I'll see you guys.
Should we get into the topic?
Yeah.
Wow, hush came over the room when that
Well, do you want to explain why the hush maybe came over the room?
Wow.
Okay, again, hostile tone.
Really hostile.
That was scolding.
There's a really interesting hostility considering how I've carried multiple episodes on my back. But outside, you know, we were talking and I brought up a couple different topics.
Yeah.
And much like the undecided voter, I would say I wasn't sure which one to pick.
You were undecided.
I was undecided. And I think, you know, multiple things could be discussed over the course of this episode. Mm-hmm. And I want to lead with the one I didn't come in with, but I think we'll talk about all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, for this moment in time, I want to say dairy.
You're going to say dairy up top.
That's the one we were hoping for.
That's definitely the one we were hoping for. Yeah. We sidebarred.
Do you find that you are usually swayed by men telling you what to do?
Listeners, I want you to hear the hostility, the violence enacted today, because to have a witness is so important.
Yeah, Katy Perry taught me that.
Oh, you listen to Katy Perry, but not Kelly. So you respect Katy Perry and
wait,
not Kelly.
Kelly makes music?
Kelly Clarkson?
No, Kelly doesn't make music. Look, I say dairy.
I say dairy,
and but
you made
I did
the right choice.
Yeah, the other topic, if it's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think it's interesting?
I think it's interesting.
Totally.
I came in and I said Pacific Rim. And Sam and George, it was, do you know, and this is an action movie trope, but do you know when someone's hit by a ballistic missile and in a movie there's just sort of like the that was sort of what happened. They went into a state of shock and paralysis, and I thought, okay, abandon
The
Pacific
camera got
Rim.
Shaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tried to do something that made them feel more comfortable, which is dairy.
Yeah. Well, for
what
the record,
was it about Pacific Rim that made us?
It's
legitimate,
ways.
Of course. It destabilized us.
Well, I think it was more of like we both. I have seen the film Pacific Rim, but it's been a long time, and so it was sort of like I don't know what I can bring to this discussion specifically.
Yeah.
And to piggyback off of that, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and I just saw it on a plane.
So that was sort of interesting.
It is interesting that you chose to watch it on a plane in 2023.
Well, I didn't have a lot of options, and I also watched West Side Story, but you didn't ask me that.
What what kind of plane were you on that had very few options, and yet one of them was Pacific Rim?
One of the best. One of the best planes there are. How about that?
How
I won't
about
comment.
That?
Yeah, it's interesting that you did. I feel like Pacific Rim and West Side Story are in conversation with one another because they're both choreography based.
Yeah.
But
they
in
are.
Different, one is like in a more masculine way and one is in a more.
I mean, I really felt the raw masculinity in both films, I have
to
say.
Wow.
And I had never seen West Side. I'm not going into West Side Story.
Yeah, and you saw the remake or the old one?
I saw the remake, the Spielberg.
Okay. Yeah.
And I had never seen West Side Story all the way through.
Uh huh.
And I had no idea it was like that.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think it was like?
I didn't think the end. I don't want to give anything away. Yeah, everyone except me has seen West Side Story.
You think it's darker than you expected?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought everyone sang, basically. Well, and I thought that meant a happy ending.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. We were very briefly mentioning Sondheim before. And as you know, I am discovering Sondheim late in life.
I did, too. Did you know this?
Yeah, okay. I did. And actually, you were one of the people that inspired me to go down that rabbit hole because I respect your tastes a lot, despite my behavior during
the
episode.
Yeah, despite today. Thank you.
And you you wrote when he died, you had some sort of post that was like, I'm sorry I didn't get it until now, but now I do, or something like that. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a very moving tribute.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
And I was like, okay, if Amy can discover Sondheim in her 30s, so can I.
Okay, wow.
Wow. Well, I haven't spent any time with him, so sorry. Stop looking at me. Everyone's looking at me well, like, Sam, so what are you going to say about
you
him?
You know what Sondheim loved? Dairy products.
Dairy. Couldn't so, get enough.
He couldn't get enough. He would always wake up and say, where's my glass of 2%?
So dairy, is yeah. this what you want to talk about?
Yeah.
I think we can talk, if you want to dovetail between the two, I say I'm open to paradox. I'm open to all things being true. But yeah, I can talk about dairy all day.
I'm sort of all in on dairy.
I'm like, get over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're like, get over dairy.
Or to us.
I need everybody
to get over it.
Settle in and yeah. sit down and ask yourself what dairy's really about for
oh,
you.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
You're wow. coming at it from an anti-dairy standpoint.
Well, I have my issues, as I think people do
right.
with it, with the stuff. I think it's absolutely delicious, but I just think it's usually like what's the word I'm trying to say? Where it's like something a lot of people fall back on when they're not great at cooking. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's an interesting point.
It can be used in an artful way. I'm not saying like dairy is like a, obviously this is a contentious point. People love dairy. They'll fight in the streets. Talk about, you know, politics.
Of course. Well, also, but I see what you're saying. It's like, yeah, put cheese on something, it'll make it taste better.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy.
This is very apparent in sort of Midwestern coated like Thanksgiving food where it's like,
yeah.
oh, a casserole, it's like a green bean casserole. You're like, all right, so we're eating literally cream cheese and pre-grated mozzarella cheese.
Yeah. I don't have any like I'm not arguing that dairy's not delicious,
right.
that it's not game-changing, that it's not, and sometimes innovative. Sure. I'm just saying, why are we holding so tightly onto it as a food?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're saying it should be a treat.
I guess so.
You're saying you can have a little dairy as a treat.
You're saying it's overused?
I think it's over-relied on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's over-relied on.
And it's almost, I do think maybe part of this is we have pushed it to its limits. Where, and yeah. I say this as someone who loves cheese. There are too many types of cheese. There's no reason for there to be such a, not to be against diversity and inclusion, but when it comes to dairy, I am.
And, you know, we've also used it when you just made that point, Branson. I was thinking about how you see these TikTok videos and it's a burger with a mac and cheese top and right. there's cheese on top of it. You know, we're using uh-huh. it in a pornographic way
it's
now.
It's gluttonous.
Well, yeah. by the way, cheese is inherently insanely sexualized. I mean,
deeply.
The way it's made, the yeah. way it's produced.
You're milking
it's
tits?
So, it's disgusting.
You're telling me you milked tits for this cheese? You're telling me tits made this cheese?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You grow a cucumber on a vine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't milk a tit for a cucumber.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I mean, am I crazy?
Yeah, am I crazy or are you milking a tit for this dairy? That's what I'm wondering.
That's what I'm wondering.
And it hurts almost everybody's stomach, a yeah. lot of people's stomach.
And we're milking and tits we're milking to hurt tits. Our stomachs.
Yeah. We're tit after tit. We're sitting down by the side of the tit and pulling down.
And we want more?
Yeah, and we want curds and whey. You're telling me you want curds and whey?
Curds and whey?
Where do you get off?
Pervert.
Yeah, pervert. And you want to separate everything? I don't know.
No. Well, the thing is, in the gay straight binary that yeah. we work within, I actually do think cheese sometimes does lean
queer
because it's so
I mean wine and cheese
gate kept yeah. You know this well you can't appreciate this you don't have the
yeah. like
it's elegant and it's and expensive it's, and it's like
pinkies up
it's pinkies up. Up it's pinkies
but you
up.
Can't do that without cheese. That's what I'm asking.
How do you do a charcuterie board pinkies up style without cheese? Jams
little toasts
little toasts we could I mean you can try like tinned fish kind of vibes you could try yeah. I also hate to say it, love vegan cheeses, but maybe that we have to call that into the question.
Well, we do have to call that into the question.
We do.
Well, and vegan substitutes are like, it would be hack to just be like, are queer. And yet it's true.
And yet it's true.
Things are hack.
I will say,
they are
you know,
true.
I'm yeah. very open to vegan substitutes. I do try to watch how much meat and dairy I eat. And yet, I do think the one thing I struggle with is dairy substitutes. I would so much rather have like a veggie burger, an impossible burger.
This feels like a hegemonic conversation. You know what I mean? People are always like, I don't like you can't find a cheese that works.
I'm just sort of like, again, I'll do seitan. I'll do, what's the other one? Tempeh. Like I genuinely like all that stuff. I like vegan baked goods. I'll do a vegan like banana bread, whatever. But I'm like, if I can't have normal cheese, whatever, I'll have something else. You know what I mean? Like that's, and that's sort of, that's how I feel about milk too. I'm like, if you want me to give up milk, I'll give up milk, but I'm not going to put literally like melted oatmeal in my coffee.
That's fair enough. And sorry.
No, I'm team George on this one. Okay. And just to, you know, create more tension in the
please.
Room.
He's on my side.
And I want to say before Sam, you absolutely go off. Both of you said dairy's a great topic.
But no, it is a great topic.
It is a great topic.
Well, I sometimes feel like I'm like me ordering like coffee with whole milk.
Yeah.
I actually feel like I'm being like I'm putting on, I'm like Pete Buttigieg putting on like a deeper voice. Like when I'm like whole milk, I'm like, yeah, but you thought you've had me all figured out.
Oh,
like,
okay.
But actually whole milk, sweetheart.
But isn't that in a conversation with like heterosexuality?
100%. That's why it's a good topic.
Yeah.
It makes me feel masculine.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's being pulled from a tit?
It's what?
Well, it's, I mean,
because when
yes.
I'm getting whole milk, I'm literally pulling the tit and I'm getting milk in my coffee.
And you do the raw, you As do the
Sam says, are the tits back there? Can I go,
pull a
tit?
Couple?
Can I go?
He goes in a blue bottle and he says, are there any tits back there?
Are the tits back there?
Can I quickly go back and pull
the tit? Can I get my hands on a couple?
So yeah, I'll get whole milk, but do you mind if I just pull a tip myself?
It would be so much easier for me.
Oh.
I will say I'm not like advocating for some sort of like, everyone has to have like soybean oil instead in their coffee.
No. This isn't about ethics. This is about...
Thank you for saying that. Because I'm not arguing ethics today.
No.
I'm not arguing ethics today. I'm arguing for 2, 3, 4 eyebrows.
Yeah. So...
A lot of dairy in Pacific Rim.
Do you want to switch to machines
now? No.
I want to derail this podcast, blow it up from the inside out. There is a cheesecake scene in Pacific Rim. I'm making it up, but there is a way all this can converge and break you to.
I was thinking of cheesecake imagery because we were, Sam and I, both together sang the Nicki verse from Monster when it came on the club the other night.
Wow.
And there's that famous part where she says... Something about cheese.
Pockets full of cheesecake.
Pockets full of cheesecake, which is so just cinematic.
Beautiful.
And just a gorgeous image. And
couldn't happen without dairy.
She couldn't be like, oh, I had like vegan.
That's
pumpkin
an amazing,
bread.
Amazing point. If Nicki's Monsterverse wouldn't exist without dairy, I'm willing to walk out of here saying I was wrong. I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I don't even care if. You notice, say my name right. If you notice my blowout, you know. What
yeah.
I mean? Like, I will walk it back.
Wow, I do think the dairy has politics in a weird way.
Oh, 100%.
Intensely
has politics.
A glass of milk at a dinner.
That's a speech in itself.
That's I just won the Republican vote like
yeah,
by saying that.
The RNC is shooting their AKs in the. Air.
Yeah. I mean, a glass, it's so conservative. Dairy, generally speaking, is so, even though cheese. Well, here's the thing. Each individual dairy product is gay, sort of. It's like cheese is gay. Like
Yogurt.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yogurt. Can you imagine? It's like the most queer thing you can have.
Yeah.
But then dairy as a whole, it's like, don't take my guns and don't take my dairy.
Yeah.
Like,
when you see a big Swiss cheese cartoon.
Exactly.
What are we talking about there?
Or it's like having a big, I could see like Tulsi Gabbard having a big glass of milk and being like, they want you to have oat milk? Well,
yeah.
I love waking up every day and having a big glass of whole milk.
Yeah, it's easily politicized and it's a weird symbol for like virility.
Yes, 100%.
But I'm saying it's destroying most people who drink it, and the
right.
people who are like, no, not me. You
well,
know, that's
I mean, it's very Jenny Holzer, protect me from what I want, because it is as is most Republican politics, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, most Republican politics have a Jenny Holzer quote that you can go back to.
It's very protect me from what I want.
Yeah.
But yes, I think, and in fact, we have talked about how heterosexuality is self-destructive. It's almost like working towards your own destruction.
I mean, annihilation.
Annihilation, self,
which
self-immolation.
Is, yeah.
And that's what you're doing with dairy, via, you know, farting.
Exactly. Via farting.
Via farting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't do anything bad to me.
Really? Let's talk
nothing.
About that.
Wait, that's nothing. Shocking to me.
Yeah.
But what?
Like,
does
you can
do
just
something?
Eat as much dairy as you want, and it doesn't have any impact on you.
Not that I know of.
Not well, that you know of.
I will say, Sam.
When you
not
say
to
as
put
much
you on the
dairy
spot,
as you want,
not to put you on the spot, but you.
Here we go.
You do openly talk about
stomach problems.
Stomach problems.
Constantly being in pain.
That's the old me.
That's the old me.
Yeah.
This is Ron Glass right now Ron Glass is saying.
That's the old me. I don't talk about my stomach being upset anymore because my stomach is not upset anymore.
Oh.
I've got it all figured out.
How?
Wow.
I time.
You time it?
You time it.
That's not how it works.
I'm
Sam.
On more fiber than
that'll do
some
it.
Towns in Minnesota. I'll tell you that much.
And how's that? So, okay.
And that's pretty much it. That's the big secret.
What kind of fiber are we talking?
Well, I do.
It's for gay men.
Well, I do too. I do. Oh. Benefiber at night.
Oh.
And then I do Pure Ferment in the morning.
Oh my God. Okay. You must be squeaky clean.
Oh my God. It's heaven over here.
Incredible. I'm jealous.
Wow. Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It's hard to move on from that.
It's hard to.
I want to say, I just.
Like, where am I?
I want to say, I feel like the fact that there are so many, like, think of the phrase dairy alternative. It's so baked into our culture right now. The fact that dairy is defined against things that are alternative is why it's so hegemonic and why it's so straight. It's like dairy is the default. And then if you're like a queer alt haircut, you know, grad student studying the feminist theory of care ethics of Pokemon, then you're like, oh, I'll actually get the alternative. I'll get oat milk.
Exactly. It's the line between modernity and post modernity.
It's 100% the line.
Dairy is on the line. Where it's like dairy in the past, no one cared.
Yeah.
Dairy now, is dairy dairy?
Yeah. There's...
Am I Truman Show dairy?
Yeah. Dairy is a floating signifier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But here's the question, though. Actually, I mean, here's a huge topic.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Machines.
Milk as mother to baby. Milk as like. Breastfeeding.
Yeah, that's straight. That's pretty straight. That's pretty straight, George.
Yeah, I guess.
Pretty straight,
it's
George.
It's straight, but it's also sort of like talk about like bionic.
Well, it's like
well,
there's
yeah.
almost like a mythology.
Exactly, you're being
spiritual.
Like a Greek goddess or something. Yeah.
Certainly, certainly.
Yeah,
certainly.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
the divine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there's the divine.
I would say,
and
like,
then there's the divine.
I would say bottle is straighter than breastfeeding.
Bottle. Yeah, I guess
bottle.
So.
Yeah.
There's so many factors that contribute into
totally
breastfeeding that I hadn't taken into account when I brought up this topic, but
it does complicate things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think dairy is like an elastic theme, and it's an elastic topic. It could go.
Oh, 100%. Like a beautiful brie.
Yeah, like a beautiful brie. But then there's also. Nacho cheese, you know what I mean? Which is
totally,
what I'm coming
totally.
In here saying. Nacho
cheese, jalapeno poppers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like pre-grated cheddar that you put in a quesadilla when you're in
Frito-Lay
Sigma
cans,
Chi. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The Bastion.
Beer cheese.
Beer cheese.
Whoa.
I should have said beer cheese.
Beer cheese.
Yeah.
So you're still undecided on the topic?
No.
Should we switch to beer,
beer cheese? Should we start over? Okay, podcast starts now. We're here with Kelly.
Hi, guys. Hi.
So what topic did you bring for us today?
Well, my wedding's in a month, and I've been planning what we're all going to have at the reception, and I really thought it was weird how there's this thing called beer cheese that my fiancé has been telling me about, and he's a gamer. And
professionally?
No. But he said we should have beer cheese, babe, at the thing. And I was like, but I don't know what that is, babe. And he was like, you're so stupid.
Yeah, he's yeah. always, he, I mean, I don't want to, obviously
he's
it's.
He's hard on me.
It's hard on me.
Well, because he believes in you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know it's months from the wedding, and I, of course, wouldn't want to put any doubts in your head.
And you guys are coming.
Of course.
Yeah. What day is it again?
12th.
It's the 12th.
It's the 12th.
Right. 12th. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sent out the RSVP. So.
Yeah. No. Yeah, we'll be there. Hopefully all will go according to plan.
And I really hope because I'm doing a big procedure before.
You're performing a surgery right before?
No,
on
just
yourself.
A little tune up.
Oh, you're doing a little tune up. Are you? You're getting the eyebrows.
Yeah, just for my wedding.
Yeah. I'm sorry to, again, I don't want to, you know, you're engaged. Obviously, you're going to marry him.
Yep.
But
you're made for each other, of course.
The way he talks to you sometimes
is joking.
Okay. I mean, I felt like when he said, I won't marry you unless you undergo the procedure.
For the eyebrows.
For the eyebrows. Because I am not going to have a wife who is not snatched.
Do you guys listen to Pink?
Yeah, we like
Pink.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, to answer that, I would just say, so what?
I'm still a rock star.
I've got my rock moves and I don't
you want to be with someone who makes you feel like a rock star?
Wow.
Kelly,
so you brought machines to us today.
Yeah, so your topic is machines, Kelly?
Yeah.
And you did that because you wanted to impress your fiancé who loves machines?
Yeah. I just saw Pacific Rim, and it was the coolest shit I've ever seen.
He makes you watch it every day.
I have volunteered to watch it every day after him forcing me to watch it every day. So it's not all... Right.
And I can even see the fact that your voice is changing because you want to impress him.
Nope. No. Love the Gunthers.
You love the Gunthers.
Those are the machines.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I actually want to pull back. I do want to say, if you, Amy Zimmer, were to have done Pacific Rim.
Let's go back.
What sort of were you...
thinking.
wanting to talk about... If we were to have done Pacific Rim as the topic.
So, in my mind, you've seen it. George hasn't.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge studio action movie.
Guillermo del Toro,
who I love. The whole thing is about, monsters fighting robots.
Uh-huh.
And... the robots fusing with the consciousness of men, which I felt like was the topic I was interested in discussing. There's a huge component of it where it's like, in order to fight, all the worlds come together, and in order to fight, our consciousness must fuse with the machine, which I feel like is so
It's a masculine dream.
Yeah, it's like, to consider merging consciousness, it has to be with a machine.
Totally.
It has to be with, like, it has to be with a wrench. You know what I mean? It's not like with a person or with an animal or with a flower. You know what I mean?
The goal of the straight man is to be machine one day.
Well, 100%. I mean, it's like, that's why
look at us.
I mean, look, we're part machine.
Apple VR,
ChatGPT, Poppy, that... pop star.
Beer cheese.
Little Michaela.
Yeah. Is that so crazy?
No, that's a great topic.
Listeners, are you with me?
No, that would have been amazing. And I'm glad that we even explored it slightly because I would have not been able to sleep tonight.
I wouldn't have either.
Knowing
honestly.
That there we could have talked about Pacific Rim and not knowing what it would have been about. So thank you.
Yeah. And you're welcome. And George, do you feel like you know more about Pacific Rim?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, going in, I said this. I thought it was a Michael Bay movie. I thought it was like just, you know, lowbrow trash. I had no idea it was created by an Academy Award winning filmmaker.
Well, something that people always say about Pacific Rim, which I would have talked about, but we didn't choose
I guess
that
it is
timeline.
Sort of a meme, right? Like, it's like people do talk about Pacific Rim.
They're always like, but the thing is, it's good.
Right. Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's... I wouldn't say it's not good, but it's just, it's kind of,
Well, there is something interesting about a big studio movie clearly meant to be sort of dumb, but then made by someone who has more to say. Do you feel like there was...
Yeah, I think there was some, there definitely was, but I think the overlap is man becomes machine.
Right. You know? I see.
It was cool. It was fine.
Okay.
I love cheese and I love machines.
Yeah.
Cheese and the machines.
Well, you know, you're pointing to the issue with the dairy is that it became problematic the second it was industrialized and like created and produced at scale.
Exactly.
Without machines, it would be ethical to eat dairy. You would just have a cow in your back garden
exactly.
and pull those tits yourself.
Thank you.
Tell you what, and if I was making my own cheese,
it would be horrible.
I would be making the worst cheese of all time.
I gotta agree that I don't
Sam,
think,
after knowing you a long time, I have to agree.
Yeah, I don't think you would be good at making your
own
cheese.
You would make some of the worst cheese I've ever heard or smelled. Yeah.
And the thing is, I would still eat it. And I'd be like, it's, you know, I don't care.
And you'd be convincing everyone, like, it's fine if you don't want it, but I'm going to have it.
I am going to have it because I made the cheese myself.
Because I made it.
So I'm going to have it. It's bad, but I'm going to eat my cheese.
And you would be chill about it, but it would ultimately become this thing among your friends where everyone was like, fucking cheese again.
Sam's like, bringing out the cheese.
He doesn't like actually, it's not like he cares, but like obviously what are you gonna do? Like everyone go there and no one eat the cheese?
Well, it would be like, he's like in his 30s. How has he not learned how to make his own cheese yet? Like we've all been making our own cheese our whole lives and he still can't figure it out. Like he needs to sit down and think about it.
And then you'd be like, whatever, it's all the same. Like it all, you know, goes in the same hole, comes out the same hole. Yeah. It's all cheese.
Yeah, it's all cheese.
Is it all cheese?
Say that.
Is it all cheese?
Is it all cheese? That's what I'm asking all of you today.
Yeah.
Okay, this is here's something insane.
Tell me.
Let's just see if this tracks. Something straight about dairy is that it works to put itself into little boxes. It's like it was milk, but now it is cheese. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, well, it's more like free form than that. It's like, no, this is cheese now.
That's a yogurt.
This is a yogurt.
If it's thin, it's a yogurt. If it gets any thicker, it's a custard.
Yes.
And this is a cheese. This is a hard
Enough
rind.
With the labels.
Yeah, hard rind.
Okay, but there are those midway points where it's like something is moldy. But then it turns into a mold.
Well, we're not talking about mold today.
We
mold
are
is
not
deeply
talking
queer.
About mold.
Wow, I have never been so shut down so quickly. All these things turn into one another. I mean, it's a very flowy, like,
George,
spectrum-y.
Shut up about mold.
George, do you hear yourself?
We're trying to have an intelligent discussion. And you're talking about mold.
And you're
mold.
Saying it's mold?
What? Like, this is in such bad faith.
And I've been losing my
you
mind.
You guys know nothing about dairy.
I have been sitting here losing my mind.
Kelly got a blowout for this.
Kelly, your nose is bleeding.
Yeah, I know.
And you're this is literally basically you standing up at her wedding and being like, I object.
You think I wanted to do this?
Well, by the way, I do object because I think her fiance is an asshole.
Hey.
He's joking. For the last time, he's joking when he says that.
It's a bit. He's funny.
It's a bit.
Wow.
Creme fraiche.
Let's talk about it. How fresh is that crumb?
I mean, how fresh can it be? I got it at the supermarket.
It's in plastic.
I mean, literally.
You guys hear about this stuff?
They're doing two eyebrows, folks, and they're talking about creme fraiche. We're saying, how fresh is that creme?
Folks, you hear about this creme fraiche?
I'm asking how fresh is that creme.
How fresh could that creme possibly be?
But my friend comes over the other day. He says, I got creme fraiche. I said, if your creme's fresh, then what the hell's my creme?
Yeah. And you know, these younger people, they don't want you to talk about it. They don't want you to say it. But the creme isn't fresh.
Wow.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
I almost think we should like
wrap up.
Do our final segment.
Oh shit.
Is that like toxic?
No, I
No, it's not toxic at all.
It's just like kind of that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, Kelly, our final segment, do you want to explain it just like you did our first segment?
Sure. Hey, everybody, it's me again.
It's me again.
Once again, I'm experiencing high school bullying. It takes me back to a place I'd rather forget.
High school.
Don't interrupt her.
Hey, listeners, it's me again, and I'm here with our last segment. It's shout outs.
Yeah.
It's shout outs where we do a TRL style shout out. It can be about anything. I really like, here's a fun fact about me. I really like the music played underneath it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys like this episode before we get into it. I really hope you all feel really good wherever you're sitting, wherever you're, if you're driving, if you're, you know, meditating, if you meditate, you know, because I'm not going to put that on you. But yeah, so I love you and I love you. Okay.
Okay, I have one.
Okay.
What's up, freak losers and perverts? I want to give a huge shout out to Halle Bailey's Part of Your World. Oh my God, I saw The Little Mermaid. My expectations were on the floor. They couldn't be lower. And I am moved. I am getting chills. This girl is so talented and I am obsessed with her. I watched it 3 times the other night. First, I watched just the part from the movie. Then I watched the old one. Then I watched the part from the movie again. And then I watched her sing it live at Disney World. And guess what? It's still good. Honey, I want to watch it all the time. It's getting stuck in my head. She can do no wrong. And it's making me listen to Chloe and Halle all over again. And nothing but love to both of them. XOXO, wow. Sam.
Wow.
You know, I'll do a music one too. What's up, intellectuals? I'm talking in a soft voice to denote being highly educated, and I want to give a shout out to Stephen Sondheim. That's right. As I've mentioned a few times on this podcast, I have discovered musical theater at the ripe age of almost 32. And after a lifetime of, by the way, being so cynical about it, literally thinking less of anyone who has ever been involved in musical theater production or has even sang a show tune at Marie's Crisis. And ultimately, I do still feel that people that are like that are bad. However, guess what? I think Stephen Sondheim is the exception that proves the rule. I think that it is literally an insult to him that he exists within the community of musical theater because he is so much better than everyone else around him. But at the same time, I actually think it's what works about it because he is playing with sort of this populist form, but creating things that are so nuanced and so and so complex and so interesting. And I think he should pretty much win the Nobel Prize for musical theater. Posthumously. And I want to give especially a shout out to the 2006 company cast recording in Rola Sparza as Bobby. And also to sort of Googling Bernadette Peters Sondheim and then spending 5 hours clicking through every possible thing that comes up. And also I want to give a shout out to like discovering something late and then not having anyone to talk to about it because all your thoughts about it are so entry level that no one wants to hear them. And so you have to like find some sort of online community with other people who are discovering Stephen Sondheim when they're 32. Woo! Woo!
Wow.
Wow, that was powerful.
That was amazing.
Okay, wow. Okay, I have one. Hey, listeners, what's up? This is Amy. I want to give a special shout out to, you guessed it, it's Kelly. She was right in the room with us, and we want to thank you, Kelly, for being here. I think your wedding's going to go off without a hitch. I think you should always stand up tall. I think do whatever you need to do to feel well. You're a conduit for all of us. You are sort of a supra consciousness. We love you, Kelly. And also, I want to give a quick shout out to Aritzia. I just found out what it was. I just found out what it is, and I still don't get the vibe. What do these girls want out of these clothes? I am trying to figure it out every day of my life. What is Aritzia? How do we stop it? Yeah. Or how do we
help it? Is it like mushrooms? Do they help the planet grow and heal, or is it a destructive force? What is Aritzia about? Shout out to you. Please let me know what it is. Thank you.
Woo! Wow. What is Aritzia?
What is Aritzia?
I only know Aritzia as like a punchline of a joke.
Yes. That should have been my topic.
Yes.
But wait, yes, that would have been a good topic.
Don't let anyone do it.
Okay, we won't. Dairy, we'll have you back. Machines, and Aritzia.
And Aritzia.
Maybe that's the title right there.
Okay, but what is, there's like no time. But
let's do it quickly.
Okay, quickly in like 30 seconds. What is Aritzia? What are
I don't know. Okay.
Episode done.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, wow.
Okay.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank
what
you,
a blast.
Thank you.
And thank you, Kelly.
And thanks,
thank
Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.